Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening and welcome to Paranormal Down Under, the scariest thing down under. This is Dr. John. Glad to be with everybody tonight. We've got a great, great show planned. And my co-host, Jackson Sam Mail. Jackson, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well tonight, my friend. How are you going?
I'm good. We're glad to have you here with us. You talked to me this afternoon, and you said, no, it was yesterday, and you said, Tammy from the She Squatchers is going to be on with us, and we've been talking about all these great things. So without any further ado, I'm going to let you introduce one of the fabulous She Squatchers. Take it away.
That would be an absolute, that'd be an absolute pleasure. Tammy Trackdale, she's like, I consider her to be one of my sisters. Absolute beautiful researcher. Love her work. She's an absolute honor to have on the show with us tonight there, Dr. John. And I'd love to introduce Tammy right now to talk about all things spiritual and paranormal. How are you tonight, Tammy?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I hope you've had a good day.
I had a great day. I was off of work, and it's been a great day to be on here with you.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you on here. Now, Dr. John doesn't know what we're actually going to be discussing tonight, but we were talking online, and Dr. John, this is for you now. We will be discussing blessings, how to clear spirits out of places, portals, what may come through specific portals, how to banish them, and how to close them. So I think it's going to be quite an interesting show. And
any
experiences that we've had, yeah.
And Jackson, I've got a portal story that happened to me today, so I'll be able to contribute.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, well, please.
Really? All right, Tammy.
This
story involves Bigfoot. Is that cool?
That's even better.
I'll tell you what happened. I have a friend, Robin McCray. She was on Bigfoot and Company with Matt and I, and she does a lot of mind speak with Bigfoot. I usually like to talk to folks a while so that I can make sure I think they do. She does. I'm very convinced. And she was telling me about putting apples and fruit outside because she has two clans of Bigfoot that live right next to her somewhere in the woods of South Carolina. And I said, well, Tank, I'm going to do that too because I think there's Bigfoot that is around me. It was around me down in Pawleys Island. I used to get these knocks on my door at 6 a.m. in the morning sharp. It was, you know, if you get a phone knock on your door at 6 a.m., it's either a neighbor in dire distress or the police. It's just nobody else.
What a paper boy.
I got that. Yeah, well, I don't get the paper. I get the online paper. So anyway, and I started getting here on the Myrtle Beach. And I talked to Robin. She said, it's a young Bigfoot. And he comes through the port. You're kind of interesting because you do Bigfoot stuff. I said, wow, that's great. And she's telling me a story about how she puts out fruit for them. So I said, well, on Friday, I'm going to go to the grocery store. I'll get some apples. And start putting apples out for them because I have some hedge right next to me. So I did. I put it, and she said, well, now, don't be upset if they don't take the first couple, but they'll look at it and they'll appreciate it. So I laid down, I put the apple out there on the hedge. So I laid down at 8 o'clock. It's 9 o'clock. All of a sudden, I felt a tug on my left arm, and I woke up. And I heard the biggest, loudest slap on the outside wall of my condo right where I had put that apple. The loudest slap. So I jumped up, ran outside. There was nobody in the upstairs unit. There was nobody around. No, nothing. The apple was still there. But I guess Bigfoot came through a portal and was slapping the wall to say thank you. That's all I can tell. But I know what I heard. Tammy, you know that phrase, I know what I heard, right?
Definitely, for sure.
And so, you know, it's so cool. Exactly what Rob said would happen. She said, they may just look at it a while, but they'll let you know that they appreciate it. I was stunned. I was awakened by a tug on my left arm. Woke up, bang. So there's my portal story. There's my portal story for tonight. So anyway, there you go. The portals are there. I'm now convinced. Used to not be, but I'm 100% convinced now.
I agree. You know, I've never had a Bigfoot come through a portal to me, but I have created portals and I have closed portals and I have seen many, many entities that are just passing through. So I am definitely open to the consideration that maybe Bigfoot uses the portals too, because I've actually brought that up to a couple of other people on a couple of their shows that I really think that the reason that they're so able to disappear so quickly is because they go through a portal.
Mm-hmm. And then they can cloak. They certainly can. And I'm waiting to see evidence of that. And I don't think I'm going to have to wait that long, because I think I've got contact with one right now. Right here in Myrtle Beach, in Socastee. So I just think it's great. And I had no idea that this was all going to work, but it is. Thank you, Robin.
I've got something for you there, Dr. John. Like when you're talking about cloaking and we're on the subject of portals and stuff. Now, when you think of a portal, do you think of it as being in a different dimension or in a different plane in our dimension? Sort of like a sideways shift.
I think it's different. You know what?
Yeah,
I can't answer that question.
Well,
I don't know. I hadn't had it. I've just now gotten used to that it exists. So now I need to start some research to give a little bit of an educated answer about what they might be. I got people to talk to.
Yep.
And I'll do that. Okay?
Yeah. Well, that'd be great, because like I was just thinking, like when we look at Bigfoot, like we have a lot of evidence of footprints, we have a lot of evidence of smell, a lot of evidence of sounds and so on and so forth, but not that much evidence of photos and everything else. Now, like, what if maybe, like, this is like a tangent sort of thing, like I always think outside the boxes, you know that I do. What if it was something like, I'm sure you've seen Lord of the Rings, like this is often a tangent. Like, you know when Frodo puts on that ring and he becomes invisible? Still leaves mm-hmm. prints. This is where I'm going into the cloaking sort of idea. I'm not saying that Bigfoot has a ring of any sort, but what if he has that sort of ability to be able to cloak himself, where you can still smell him, still hear him, still find footprints, but not see him?
I don't know, but it makes sense. Tammy, what do you think? We're out there with the She Squatchers. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, I think that's a great possibility. There's so many times where people find evidence of Bigfoot and they're following these footprints that they find and they just disappear. I mean, they just stop. And there's no evidence of them going anywhere. You know, they didn't turn around and go back where they came from. They just stopped. So I definitely think that it's a possibility that not only can they cloak, but that they are using portals. And, you know, I think that it's something that we really need to keep an open mind about, because I think that we're going to be surprised with some of the things that we find.
I like that thought. We need to keep an open mind.
Some people that don't
have open minds need to learn how to open them. Some people, like us, think we need to open our minds and we're open to things that possibility things that we do not know about. So I think that's important. It was really interesting. I had one of my very best and oldest friends I hadn't talked in 10 years, he sent me an email today, and he said, "We found your website, Scarycast." I knew what that meant. And I said, "So what do all of you guys think?" He said, "We still think you're crazy. You've always been crazy. But the podcasts, I've listened to some of them, they're pretty interesting." So it made me feel good that some of my old friends who didn't know about all this, you know, they're open to this. It's kind of cool. And I like that. And thank you. Shout out Brian White and all the all the boys from Clemson. Thank you very much. And in case any of you are listening tonight or listen on iTunes, Spotify. So, yeah, I mean, just I think open mind is an important thing. Mind is a terrible thing to close. That's a good way to put it. So,
you
Tammy?
Know, I don't tell anybody in my friend circle. I don't tell anybody in my work circle. I don't tell anybody anything about what I do because I don't have to waste my time to try to convince people that what I believe is real. And I think that when they stumble upon it and they approach me with it, you know, I am surprised because they're like, "Oh, well, I had no idea, you know, that you were into all this stuff and, you know, you're just, you have such an open mind that about all of these things that we didn't even consider before." And I just don't advertise the fact of anything that I do. And when people approach me, I am surprised that they have found me and have listened to these things. But I think that we're all on the right track. And I think that people are going to be amazed with the things that we discover here. I'm going to put a timeline out there, and I'm going to say it's going to be probably within the next 12 to 24 months that we're going to have evidence that people are not going to be able to dispute and that we're going to irrefutable proof of all of these things, all of these dimensions. I think that we have all been chosen to be the spokespeople for Bigfoot and for portals. And I really think that everything's about to come to a head, and I think that it's going to be a great time, and it's going to be so interesting and enlightening for everybody. So I'm really excited about all this.
Okay,
I couldn't agree more there. Like, with the divergence of, like, the internet and cameras and video and everything we've got these days, there's so much evidence coming up, but it's not just going to be evidence that's coming up from videos. It's going to be more personal, from what I feel, that all these things are going to happen. We're going to have more personal experiences.
Well, Tammy, I like what you said. There's another consideration that I think needs to be put into the equation. For ghosts and everything, I remember when I was a kid, nobody had ever seen a ghost. Today, the vast majority of people have a ghost story. I think that's very interesting. Bigfoot, on the other hand, is a different thing. The government has kept – I mean, I know Dr. Melba Ketchum. I mean, you know, she did a great DNA study, and she couldn't get it published. I think there is a problem with the acknowledgement of Bigfoot. Plain and simple, we've had enough evidence to acknowledge Bigfoot for many, many years. They acknowledge him in Russia. I mean, you know, they don't have any problem with it. But apparently there's a problem over here. I don't know what the nature of it is, but there is a cover-up. I mean, there was a Bigfoot sighting down in Charleston. I get a call from the news. They say, start the report, John. We're going to get you the information. Then all of a sudden, all the information dried up, vanished. Nobody would report on it. No news outlet in Charleston would report on it. Now, that's not a natural thing, a piece of news that's like that. You get 9-10 people calling in to the sheriff, to the 911 and saying there's a Bigfoot out there. You know, see if that doesn't get some attention, but it didn't. They and I don't know who they are, don't want Bigfoot to quite get out just yet. I don't know what it is. So that may be a bit of a sticking point. But I don't know. It could go away. But we'll see. And I don't want to make anybody mad, and I don't want to see have any feds come to see me in the morning. No, I don't. As I quietly ease out of that topic.
Just quietly.
It's all good. It's all good.
As I quietly and politely ease out of that topic for tonight from me. Yeah. And so this is where I'll put it. I mean, we know they're all there. I mean, we've all seen them. Who hasn't seen a UFO by now? You haven't seen one, you're not looking. So, I mean, I don't know.
You know, I have to say, I have had so many experiences, not just with Bigfoot, but with portals themselves and things coming through. I read photographs and I read videos for a few paranormal groups, and I have come across things that people are like, oh, well, you know, it's a ghost, it's a black dog, and, you know, I can slow it down frame by frame. And I'm like, okay, so I post the screenshots that I get off of these things, and I'm like, that is not a dog, that is not a ghost, that's a little, I don't even know how to describe it, a little troll. It's bigger than a troll, but maybe an elf, you know, like entity, you know, running through a frame that happened to see, look over and see you filming him and got a, oh, crap, look on his face before he ran off and disappeared in through another portal. So for me, I think that portals are not just in one spot, you know. It's like they're like a travel tunnel for other dimensions. And I think that not everybody can see, but there are plenty of people who can see. And I think that the portals are a great topic to talk about. And I think that there's a lot of information out there that people don't know about that we can share and clarify to help people to identify things that are happening within their homes or on their properties, and that we can help them understand what's going on.
Well, you said that you were going to talk
really,
a little
really
bit
good.
About. You said you were going to talk a little bit about how to create portals and how to close them. Do you mind sharing that with us?
Well, for sure. Okay, the first I've created two portals. The first one that I created, I was down in the Florida Keys, and the Florida Keys is the home of my soul. I knew the moment that I stepped foot on that land that I had been there before and that I was there in a previous life, and I just felt so connected to it that while we were there, I was out in the water in the shallows out on Isla Mirada, and I created a portal that I could transport myself and that I could transport souls that were out in the water, you know, to where I was to help them. Because while I was there, there were so many entities and souls that were out there that were just, you know, it had been people who had been lost at sea, people who had died at sea, and people who were just at home there that when they passed, they went there and didn't know where to go. So I created a portal there so that I could connect with them and they could connect with me, and I could help them to cross over if they wanted to. And for me, for, you know, the keys for me are so healing that I just want to be there all the time. I need to live there. I really need to live there, and I will live there eventually. So I can go there for myself to heal myself, and I can go there to heal others. That is why I created that portal. The other portal, I had seen a video of the one that I was just describing about that entity, elf or whatever it was, that passed through somebody's apartment. And I was like, you know what? I want to see. I want to see where they go. I want to see, you know, what they do, how they can come and how they can go. And, you know, obviously, he was just passing through. He had a staff. He was barefoot. He was running, and he just got caught on camera, and he was shocked that he got caught, but he kept going. You know, he was running like somebody was chasing him. So, but I wanted to see. So I created a portal in my own bedroom so that when I fell asleep that I could see. And I guess I don't have to be asleep to see, but for me, I wanted to do that because I wanted to be able to connect on a lower level than my awake consciousness. So that's why I created that. How to create it? If you want me to share that, I can. But there are many people who may not use that for the benefit of mankind. So maybe we should discuss that a little bit before I do that.
It's funny. I was thinking the same thing myself. Yeah. Jackson, do you agree? I think that could be a little bit too revealing.
Oh, most definitely. Yeah, I can completely agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's definitely portals out there. There are interdimensional things that we can't explain, but we will come to an understanding when we will be able to explain them one day. And it's just going to blow us away. Like, question for you, Tammy. Would you think of portals in reference as maybe, say, if you were thinking quantum theory, if you were talking to a Scientologist or not Scientologist, sorry, a scientist, would they be like a wormhole?
Yes, you know, I think it would be considered a wormhole. It's a point where other dimensions and beings of other dimensions can enter into our time and our existence. Now, I have been told and have pondered that there are many layers of existence in all universes. And the only way that an entity can exist or enter a portal in our existence is if that portal, that plane of existence, also exists in their realm and their time. Because there are many layers, and if our planet does not exist in another universe, then that entity from that universe cannot enter into our existence because they will cease to exist once they step through the portal. Does that make sense?
That sure does. Now, sort of entities or things do you think would pass through these portholes?
Well, there are many entities that I have encountered in what, like I said on Dr. John's show, I call it the underworld. It's not the underworld as people refer to as like hell. It's not an underworld as the natives refer to as like a summer land or a heaven or another alternate, you know, universe of existence. For me, this is like a subterranean culture. I've been there. I've visited it before. And that place, I have seen many, many entities different from all over. I can't even describe some of them. They're all different. None of them were scary to me, and none of them were scared of me. You know, we all acknowledged each other and went about our way. But in that example, these entities existed in our realm, but I don't know that I would be able to travel, whatever you want to call it, wormhole travel, into a place where we did not already exist. I don't think that we can go. For me, it's like layers. And if we do not exist within those layers, we cannot go there because we would just cease to be once we entered that realm.
So different planes of the same dimension, basically.
Yeah, and I
just all on just drawing different claims.
It's difficult to describe unless you have an open mind.
Yeah.
Because I've seen it, I've been there, but I can't make somebody else understand unless they're willing to open themselves to the possibility and the reality that we are not the only beings of higher consciousness out there, because we are so not.
Most definitely. Now, is it possible for us to maybe, like, in your mind, would it be possible to us to enter their portals into their plane? And if not, when they do enter ours, how do we cleanse or banish or even close that portal, in your perspective?
I do think it's possible for us to travel into their planes of existence. It's just that we are such a physical being that we don't open ourselves to the possibilities that, let's say, dreams or visions or other things are not just these things, but they are actually existent within other realms. Yeah, sure. I think that we can enter those realms. I think they can enter our realms. And now if we don't want them to enter at a particular place that, where they have already established themselves, can we close that portal? Yes. Yes, we can definitely close that portal. And I can definitely share that with everybody, because I don't think that's going to harm anybody for me to share that information.
Yep. Oh, well, that'd be great.
We're
okay,
all ears,
so,
Tammy.
To close a portal, a lot of it relies on your mental spirituality, your mental form of armor. It's not for somebody who's weak. It's not for somebody who is weak-minded, easily influenced, easily scared, easily, you know, torn away from their beliefs or anything. You have to be strong in your faith. You have to be strong in your personality and strong in your spirit. So if you are able to be strong in all of these things and not, you know, run screaming into the night when you see something strange and unusual, it's not a horror film. but if you are strong and you feel that you can take on with your beliefs anything that you don't understand, the first thing that you need to understand is that not all darkness is evil. And just because you come across something dark, that it comes into your home, to wherever it is that this portal is, I guess first I should tell you how you recognize a portal. And to recognize a portal, for me, myself, if I'm walking into a home and I'm looking and they think that they have a portal or they have a lot of activity, I feel like I'm pulled, like somebody threw a lasso rope over me and I'm pulled. Sometimes it feels like you're off balance, but you feel pulled towards something and you almost stumble. And when you find that, that is where there's like a shift of energy, a shift of realms, a shift of reality. That's how I recognize where a portal is. If you want to close the portal, then whatever your faith is, if you're Christian, if you're pagan, if you're heathenistic, if you're whatever you are, wherever you draw your spirituality, wherever you connect to the divine for your own personal self, what I do is I will go in with some salt, sea salt, rock salt, whatever salt that you can get on that it is pure, purified salt. I always take that with me, and I start by throwing salt at it because salt is a purifier and it balances energy. I throw the salt into it, and then I will recite for myself, because I'm pagan, I recite spells. Christians recite prayers. Whatever it is that you are, you know, able to connect with the divine with, that's what you recite. And once you feel like you are strong and firm where you are and in your beliefs, then you tell them that you cast them out, that they can never return to this place, that this place is now closed. It is no longer a portal. Nothing can enter and nothing can leave through this portal. I will give you a little side note there. If you think that you have entities in your house that you don't want, you might want to make them go through it before you start closing the portal, because otherwise you're going to be stuck there. But once you get that done and you're accomplished with it, you close it, you say, you seal it, and you know, whatever you use to seal, whether it be holy water or tar water, which is one of my favorites, then you seal it off and you put down some salt. If it's on the floor, you can put salt, a salt barrier. I had one in my house in my laundry room that was actually in my ceiling, so I couldn't put a salt barrier up there. But I threw the salt at it, and I put the oil and the tar water up onto the entrance of it. And you just seal it and say that nothing else can pass through it, and that that place is no longer a place of travel for any entities or any beings. And then you say your blessings, and you say that it is closed, and then it is.
Okay, yep. Okay. I've heard a lot. I've had to use salt in the past myself. I think we may have talked in the past, Tammy. I had an incident up at a property that I had up in northern New South Wales here in Australia, where it just, there was something really strange going on inside the house. I'd have someone walking across my deck coming up the front door. I'd get up to answer the door and there'd be no one there, and the dogs would get up and they'd just shake their heads because they'd seen the same thing as me. I had a friend that was a medium, excuse me, come over, and she went to cleanse the place with a sage smudge stick, and this sage stick burst like it just crackled, and it was like fireworks. And she said she'd never experienced anything like that before, and that there was something there. And I'm just wondering what your views might be on that, because I'm sure that there was certainly something around that farm.
Well, something like that, that has actually happened to me before, and it's because the spirit activity is so strong in that area that the sage, you know, sage only burns where it's needed. If a sage stick will not burn, it's because it doesn't need to be burning there. It, you know, there's nothing that you can do to control the sage. It is what it is, and it recognizes where it's needed. So if it's crackling like that, it's because there's so much activity there that it's like it almost can't keep up with what it needs to do. So definitely, when you an experience like that, definitely needed, and sage only burns as long as it needs to. So when the area is cleansed, it will burn itself out. I have had smudge sticks that, you know, smudge sticks are like, I don't know, 5 or 6 inches, you know, long. And I've had smudge sticks that burn so strong and so fast that the entire smudge stick is gone, and I have to light another one. So you just, you know, there are certain areas that just need to be cleansed, and that is doing a great service to the universe when you burn those smudge sticks like that, because it's like, okay, work needs to be done here, and the sage is going to do it. All you need to do is be present. I always follow up a smudge stick with incense. My favorite is Nag Champa incense. You could burn whatever incense that you like, but I burn a Nag Champa incense, and then I burn a white candle, because any time that you remove negativity, you have to replace it with positive energy. Otherwise, the negativity just comes back, because there is a balance that needs to be there within the universe. If you remove the negative, you have to replace it with positive.
Exactly. Yep. Yep, yep, that makes so much sense. Yeah, it was just so strange up there that day, like when my medium friend came over and she lit up the sludge stick and it basically exploded in her hand, and she just looked at me with her mouth open and said, "That's never happened before." And she just picked up on some sort of energy in that place. And
so what kind of thing did you have going on that that you needed to have her over there? What was going on?
Okay, it was just like the place felt really dark. You'd walk through the front door, and it was just like a sense of sadness that had just come across you. Some areas of the place would get cold. As I was saying before, there were times when I'd see out of the corner of my eye someone approaching the front door, and I thought it might have been my older brother. And I'd wait for the door to open, there'd be no one there. And sometimes the dogs would get up and see the same thing, and there'd be no one there, and they'd just be looking left, right, where's that person? So I know I wasn't just imagining things. And I was just wondering, like, when I was really young, like 2-3 years old, I think I've spoken to this about this before. I was living in a house down in Sydney back in the 1970s. And this place was built in the late 1800s. And we used to have a lot of activity there. In some ways, I'm thinking, did it maybe follow me? Or because I've had experiences in almost every place that I've lived in. And I'm not sure if it's attached itself to me. It's like, I had meningitis when I was 16 weeks old. I was given a 5% chance of making it. I nearly died. I spent 3 months in hospital, near death. And I'm just wondering if something maybe have attached itself to me and is still attached to me. Like, I've never told anyone this, but I'm putting it out there on national radio right now, in national radio.
Okay, do you want me to tell you how to get rid of that?
Please do.
Okay, so this is an old, old, old witchcraft spell. But what you need to do is you need to take your favorite pair of shoes, not just a pair that you're like, oh, well, I really don't like these, you know, so I'm not going to miss them, blah, 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 but your very favorite pair of shoes. You take them to the entrance to a graveyard, and you take them and you leave your shoes at the entrance to the graveyard, and you say, when you put them down on the ground, you say, this is my favorite pair of shoes. I give this to you. Please remove this negative entity from my life, never to return again. And you put those shoes on the ground to the entrance of the graveyard. You turn around and you walk away, and you do not look over your shoulder. Walk away, you get into your vehicle, and you leave. And that those spirits of that graveyard will capture that entity that has attached itself to you and will make sure that it never comes back to your life ever again. Now, you have to consciously decide that you are not going to think about that entity. You're not going to think about your bad luck. And anytime it pops into your head, you push it away and say, yeah, well, that's over now. But it works because the same thing happened to me. I'm not sure if it was my parents messing around with witchcraft, which they did when I was young, or what it was that made this spirit attached to me, but she was very determined that I was going to fail in life. And so I contacted a high priestess of the voodoo, and she told this spell to me, and I did it, and it worked so very well that almost immediately after, not only did all of the bad things that seemed to always happen every time I almost made something successful, not only did that all disappear, but almost immediately I started getting offers from, you know, people that, you know, I thought had been dismissed from my life, and new people that I didn't know before that invited me into this happy realm of existence that I never even knew that there was, you know, on this planet, because I'd always been so miserable. So if you do that, then I think that you're going to find that it's going to change not only your luck, but your whole perspective on life, and you will no longer be sad, and you will no longer feel defeated, but you will have such a positive outlook on life, and you will just be so much happier.
So you're saying leave your favorite pair of shoes there.
Yes, you leave your very favorite pair of shoes at the entrance to a graveyard. And when you leave them and you say that to them, that please, I have this entity that has been, you know, following me and giving me misfortune. Can you please remove this entity from my life forever? You place those shoes. You say, I offer these shoes as an offering to you. Please make sure that entity never bothers me again. And there are several entities in the graveyard that have nothing better to do, and they'll be like, yeah, I'll help you with that. And so they'll do that, and they'll help you, and your luck will change so quickly. You will be amazed by how quickly it works.
Okay, well, that's something that I'm definitely going to have to do. Thank you very much for that, Tammy.
Yeah, you too, Dr. John. I know that there's some things that you'd like to let go of too in life. So definitely, you should both try it, and then we should reconvene and let everybody know how that worked out for you.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I'm using another approach, and it's working.
What's that? What are you doing?
Yeah. What approach are you using, Dr. John?
I carry a Bible with me wherever I go in my pocket. And I pray all the time. And my prayers, many of them, get answered very quickly now. It's like the more you pray, the more your prayers get answered. It's amazing, isn't it?
I do believe that however anybody connects to the divine, whatever the divine is, you know, if it's God, if it's Allah, if it's, you know, however the God, the Roman God, whatever God, whatever entity that speaks to your soul that you connect to the divine with, I honestly believe that all different religious entities are all just different faces of the same source. It's all paths lead to the same destination. So whatever connection to the divine that you have, however that works for you personally, that's what you need to do. You know, everybody has their own connection to the divine, and whatever that is for you, that's what you do. Me, as a pagan, I'm a pagan, and I believe that there are many faces to the God, to the source, to the one. And, you know, everybody says, you know, Christians believe that God is the one, the only. Okay, so if everybody believes that their entity is the one, they're all just different faces of the one. So whatever your connection is to divinity, whatever brings you to that closeness, to the higher power, that's what you need to do. Whatever works for you is what works for you, and you should do that.
Yeah, it just does. And I don't have to worry about, you know, of course, we always have to worry about problems. But I feel a lot more at ease now, and I can get a lot more work done and better quality work. I have good things coming to me all the time now. I mean, I have to fight them all almost. It's been great. So, yeah, I think you're 100% right. And I think whatever works for you. We're all different. And that's part of it. So, yeah, this little segment has been very interesting. And very illuminated. There's a Bible verse that says it's another one of those two word Bible verses. You know, it ever talks about this one, and it says pray incessantly. That's it. Two-word Bible verse. Great things come in tiny packages. Right, Tammy?
For sure. I can't agree more. You know, like I said, we all have our own path. We all know what connects us to the universe, to the source, for ourselves, for our hearts. And as long as we are connecting with that divine energy, it doesn't matter what you call it, as long as you're connecting.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's 100% right. So, yeah. No, I'm glad. It was really funny. I was talking with someone this morning, and we both acknowledged the same exact thing. And the project that we were working on has exploded in 10 hours. It's absolutely exploded. And I think that pray incessantly does. I think what that does is that keeps your mind occupied with prayer is a positive thing. And it keeps negative. I think negative doesn't have room to come into your personal realm of thinking if you're busy praying. I think it's a good defense, and I think it fills you up so that negative things can't bombard you. Nearly, I mean, they're always bombarding you, but that's what I think. And listening to the voice, it can keep you out of certain places. It can keep you, it can make you take a different road home than you normally would. And why on earth would you do that? Don't know, but you might have just missed a wreck that would have killed you. But yet nothing happened because your car was not where it was going to be. So I mean, I think that's how it works. I think overall, that's how the cells and the prayer all work, is they keep the bad out because they keep mind full of things that are positive. And that's, you know, it's just what I think. So, and Tammy, does that make sense?
For sure. You know, I've heard so many stories of people who have had, you know, surgeries, and they left their bodies, and, you know, they encountered the divine. And I so wanted that experience that when I had a surgery that was a planned surgery, I said, I want that experience. I want to know where everybody's going. I want to see. I want to be there. I want to have that experience. And, you know, I went under the anesthesia, and what happened to me was, I went to this place. I was like walking down a hallway, and I opened a door, and I saw these people chanting and singing. And I was like, you know, in the moment, I knew what they were singing. And I was like, I really want something to take back with me. I really want something to take back with me that I can connect with. And I know that I went and I saw this, and I looked up, and they were like singing to this thing. It was like almost like a nucleus under a microscope, you know, like a sun or something, where there was things coming off of this nucleus looking thing. And it looked like, you know, thought. You hear science, and they're like, okay, this is a process of thought, and this is this connecting with the neurons and everything. It was like connecting and the synapses and everything. And I was just amazed by it. And I'm like, I need something to take back with me. Well, you know, when I woke up after the anesthesia, the song that was in my head was Higher Love by Steve Winwood. And I was like, I haven't thought of that song in so long. And I listened to the song after I woke up because I couldn't get it out of my head. And it was, the words of it was, bring me a higher love. And I listened to it, and I was like, that is exactly it. That is exactly what I wanted to experience. And it was just amazing because I went there, and I've been there to what people call the source several times since then. They, you know, it's like once I get pulled into the underworld sometimes to experience that, but I also get pulled up to the source where every energy returns once they are no longer on this plane of existence. When people die, they return to the source. And I was there, and I saw, and I've had conversations with entities there. And for them, they just said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how you connect. It only matters that you connect, that you feel that within your soul, within your heart. That is the only thing that matters, is that you connect. So for me, that just opened everything. You know, when people say, God bless you, I'm like, thank you. You know, when other people, you know, speak their religions and speak of their blessings, it's all the same. We're all just trying to connect with the divine. And it's a great experience that I think that everybody should relish in their religion and in their form of connecting with the divine, because we are all going to the same destination, and it's a great place to be.
That sounds so good. Like, just by listening to that, Tammy, like, this might sound a little bit morbid, but I've been on the operating table over 7 times now, and every time I got on the table, I'd sort of feel a little bit excited that I'd had the sort of experience that you've just explained. Oh, as I said, that might sound a little bit morbid, but I've always wanted to know about what's, you know, on the other side, or, you know, what may happen. Like, as you know, like, I've lost my entire family and everything, and I know that I'm going to see them then again one day very, very soon. Like, you know, well, not in the near future, but I'm not scared of death at all. But it's just, well, it just gets to me how, how I'd love to have an experience like the experience that you've had, and just get more of an understanding. I just guess that I'm not ready to open up enough.
And I don't think, I mean, that, you know, we don't have to die to experience that. Like I said,
I've been pulled
up there. And as far as your family goes, you may have lost them. You know, I've lost my father. I've lost people that are very close to me. But it's not like they're really gone. It's like they're just in the next room.
No.
You know, they're still there. You know they're there. You can't see them, but you know that they're there. I get signs from my father all the time about, you know, things that I'm doing and where I'm going on my path, you know, for spirit, not only spirituality, but where I'm going on my path of life. And my father, in several instances, has shown me, you know, that he's there and that he's proud of what I'm doing. I'm sure that you've experienced things that have shown you that your family is proud of you. And they're very happy with where you're going and what your path is.
Yep. So it's easy to say that they're just on the other side of a porthole that will open when it's ready, when we're ready.
Definitely. It's just like you're in the living room and they're in the kitchen. You know, they're right there.
Exactly.
They're right there. They understand. They see.
Yeah.
They're right there. They're like, hey, yeah, I'm so proud of what you're doing. They're never out of reach. Never.
Yeah, well, that's just another definition of a porthole, isn't it?
For sure. Yeah, definitely. You know, everything is right there. And I think that there's so many planes of existence and so many things that are going on
that's
in
it.
All realms. We're just in one realm. We're just existing in this part. But this part is just one
that's
layer
it.
Of the onion, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's interdimensional. It's interspiritual, I suppose you could say. There's many different planes on many different dimensions that we can transport in between, sideways, ups, downs. There's so much more out there that we need to discover. And I just love this conversation. I'm sorry, I'm just getting lost of thought.
There is. I mean, it's all just existence. You know, this realm, this time, is the only existence in which we control everything by a clock. You know, all the other dimensions, they don't acknowledge time like we do.
It's all existing at the same time.
Yep. That's it. That's just like a wormhole. It's like when you fold a piece of paper together. A piece of paper could be, 10 feet long. You put a dot at each end of that piece of paper, you fold it in half, those two dots meet. That's the same point in time.
Exactly.
Completely understand that. Yep. Yeah.
Well,
two points in time that meet at the same point in time, and it's all the same point in time. There is no future, there is no present, there is no past. They all meet at the same junction and interconnect.
Exactly. Yeah, like I said, we are the only people who try to live their lives by a clock. All the other entities and all the other realms, it's all existing at the same moment. You know, at any point in time, that's why time travel is such a possibility, because time is only our realm. Time is not the other
realm. Exactly. It's only a man-made thing. Like, every point in time exists at the same point in time.
Exactly.
It's only our perception and the man-made ideal of something that we need to discern as humans to...
It's all about control. We just want to control everything.
Yeah.
So we create a clock so that we can be in control.
Exactly. Yep. That's crazy, isn't it?
It is,
I have so much
fun talking to you. You guys are so great.
Well, I want to jump in here and mention something about time. There was a paranormal team around here, and they came to one of my Comic-Cons. And I had my show. And they were at the USS Yorktown, which is down in Charleston. And there, I think it was Yorktown, or maybe, no, it was North Carolina, USS North Carolina. They were doing a ghost hunt there. And they met a spirit. And they ascertained from the spirit. The spirit said, the spirit was, let's see, how was it? They asked the spirit, they said, who is the president? And then they listed presidents in reverse order, going backwards. And there was a knock heard when the spirit heard the name of the president when he died. The spirit had no conception of time having moved forward. I think for me, I don't really understand what it would be like not to have time. That spirit obviously found out what it was like not to have time. They don't seem to have the ones that I've encountered in the passage of time doesn't seem to bother them. And it bothers us. We get nervous, if we're sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting. But it is interesting. And I think it'd be wonderful to start exploring what must it feel like with no time. I mean, with no time, but yet things do change. So how does that work? Like, we build buildings, new buildings. We tear buildings down. So we change state. The state of the world changes, and that's how it reflected in time. But how do these entities not perceive time? Does that mean that their realms aren't changing? What does it mean? That's just a reflective question. I don't know that we can answer that, but Tammy, what do you think?
Entity are you talking about? What sort of entity are you talking about?
Just a ghost.
Okay, ghost entity. Well, a ghost is basically, well, in my belief, it's basically on a loop in time. It perceives things as it was when they were alive. I've heard of stories where they'd see, like in Rome, for example, I've heard of ghost stories there where they'll see people walking 10 feet above the ground, and that's where the floor used to be. They may be stuck in some sort of time loop. They walk through a wall where there never used to be a wall. Time turning around and coming back again as it always does. Like everything is always in a loop. That's the way that I perceive it.
Okay.
Definitely. You know, in my own home, my husband, his grandfather, when he was alive in his time, our home was there, built in the 1880s, and the ground was a lot higher. And when I would see him walking on the property, and he would be, you know, up above, like 5 feet above where the ground was. And I said something about it to my husband, and he said that definitely before the ground was much higher, and because of erosion,
the ground has gone down more. Yep. I've heard so many reports of that sort of thing. I've actually come across something like that myself. In the farm that I was living in that I was talking about up in Byron Bay, there was no deck as high as the one that was where I said this entity was coming towards the door. And when this thing would, this entity would walk towards the door, it was like he was sunken down to his knees as he was walking around the veranda, and he found out years later that the veranda had been raised about 3 foot. So it almost looked like this entity had no legs, but he was still walking. If that makes sense.
That makes total sense to me.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I wonder what they're seeing. I guess they're seeing what used to be there and not what's there today.
Exactly. That's exactly what I think. They're just reliving a moment in time, in their time.
Maybe they see us and they think that we are the ghosts.
Well, see, that could be another interdimensional thing. That's what I was sort of trying to get to before. Like, we're on the same dimension, but in different planes. It's like going back to Lord of the Rings. one person sees someone through a veil. You see someone else through a veil. It might be interdimensional. It might be through time travel. It may be, you know, like going back to portals and everything. There may be a spot in time where we get different frequencies through magnetics or things like that, where time becomes one, dimensions become one, and we see things from other dimensions or time that we may consider to be spirits or ghosts, and vice versa. They may consider us to be the same. Just putting that out there.
Exactly. Maybe we're the ghosts in their realm.
Exactly. It may be an interdimensional, like, time and space portal where we view each other through time, through space, where we're thinking we're seeing something from the past or something that we don't recognize and don't understand it. And, yeah, we just try to theorize in our own heads and don't tell anyone in case someone thinks that we're crazy. That's a really good theory.
I agree.
Yeah. That is something to think about. When you look at ley lines, like, they have really high magnetic energy and stuff. And a lot of things happen on ley lines. So it's, who's to say there aren't other hotspots for this sort of energy where things happen in certain points, as we call time. Just line up like the stars do and the sun, all the planets do. You know, we might have a correlation where all the energy just lines up, and who knows what can happen.
I definitely agree with that. I think that we're all experiencing things, you know, like the portals for us may be the portals that, you know, these entities are coming through are for them, us entering into their dimensions, and they're just as confused as we are as to why we are there, as why we think that they are in our dimension. So it's very possible that, you know, it's just a blur in the time continuum.
Most definitely. Just sort of gets me wondering, what if this blur all sort of happens at once and everything comes together at once and everyone comes together at once? That could be very interesting.
I think that that's something that, you know, the quantum physics has a lot to do with all of that. And I think that we should all be very more open to what's going on around us and stop thinking that perhaps we are the dominant species and everything else is happening to us.
Yep. I've always wondered what would happen if past, present, and future all coincided at the same point in time.
For sure.
Yeah. What would happen? would it be like a chaos theory, or would it be...
Right, would it be a culmination of world events all at the same moment?
Oh, well, everyone from past, present, and future culminating in the same place with all the events of past, present, and future.
Yeah, I think that would be a huge chaos.
It'd be interesting, though, like going on time theory and quantum physics and string theory and everything. What if that point did actually happen, like if what we have theorized as being sort of interdimensional, like the past meeting the future and the future meeting the past, and that's what we theorize as being spirits or interdimensional, what if all of this came together at once in one big culmination in one point in time? Like, it would be... Oh, it'd be one hell of a party, I think. It's just something to think about. Well, you might be back for that, Dr. John. As I said, past, present, and future, like, if everyone past, present, and future comes together in one go, you're not going to miss the party.
Yeah, that's I always have the problem about someone going back in time and changing the past, which changes the future.
Yep.
But
exactly.
Then, which future are they changing? I would assume there's when they change in 1971, there's the... There become two realities. One is the unchanged one that we already know about. Then the other one is the changed one. And then there are people in that one. And then all lives have been different in that one since 1973. It's quite interesting when you think about it. But there are so many parallel universes anyway. There are billions upon billions upon. I mean, space is clogged with parallel universes. Just about everything you want is out there. It's just a matter of how close are you to it. And I think that's like if you have a goal or whatever, that can guide you to get closer to reality where your goal is, where you have having reached your goal is. I think that's all it is. That may sound strange, but that's what I've always envisioned. So I saw this fella. It was about 3 days on the border. Tanner, do you see anybody with bell bottom blue jeans on anymore?
Sorry? You were breaking up a little bit there.
Yeah, I know. You broke up. What did you say?
Do you ever see anyone with bell bottom blue jeans on anymore?
I still didn't hear what you said.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to move around. I must be or someone's messing with me. Is that better?
That is better.
Yeah.
Can I repeat the question?
Yeah. Tammy, have you ever seen anyone recently with blue jeans on?
With blue jeans?
Bell-bottom blue jeans.
Oh. Have I seen anybody recently with blue jeans? No, I haven't seen anybody with bell bottoms on.
See, I don't think, Jackson, that this is a U.S. question. I saw a fellow walking down the boardwalk, bell bottom blue jeans, a very out of sight, and carrying one of those little plastic snap cameras that people used to have all the time before we all had cell phones. And the guy just looked absolutely out of place. He looked like he was walking around from 1975. And it was a little creepy. It's like, and I don't know if he was a time traveler. But it didn't look right. And this thing flashed in my head. I'm not right about that guy. So it's like, and he walked out. And they took a picture of the beer. Takes a picture of that beer. I mean, that's not a thing to take a picture of. Nobody's about it. Then it seems like, what happened? You know, what did you see?
Yep.
It was very strange. And, like, if he was from 1975 and coming to take a picture of that beer, I mean, I don't know if that changed a whole lot in the scope of time. Knowing that the pier is still there because it was there in 75. So, I mean, it's interesting what maybe time travel. I know it sounds crazy, but there seems to be a little bit of evidence that there are some time travelers. A little bit. Not a lot, but a little bit. So, I don't know. I just bring that up because that was something I saw. You see everything in Myrtle Beach. I will tell you that.
Saying that someone out of place wearing bell bottoms and having camera like that, like I've done a lot of research too, and I've seen a lot of things that look like other people out of time, like people back in the 1930s using mobile phones, people in the 1940s wearing T-shirts and modern sunglasses and things like that, you know what I mean? So it's like... there could be a time anomaly. I know people just get misplaced. They may interdimensionally go through time, just snap in and out. There's so much more out there that we don't understand. I've been into this thing all my life, and the more I get into it, the more questions I have.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the time travel thing is interesting. Time thing's interesting. But I think the most interesting thing tonight so far is how Tammy was talking about closing portals. That's interesting. And Tammy, I tell you what, do you have any more interesting things like that? You've been a little like an encyclopedia tonight, telling us the first of all, two concrete things. Do you have anything else interesting you'd like to share with us as we get to the last 15 minutes of our show?
Well, this whole conversation reminds me of a book series by Robert Holdstock. Have you guys ever read Mythico Wood?
Yes, I have.
I haven't.
Does that not just make you think about Mythico Wood when we're talking about different realities and changing the outcomes?
Yeah. Most definitely. It also reminds me of the book that I told Dr. John about earlier on one of our shows, From the Corner of His Eye by Dean Koontz, about the way that all things are, alternate realities.
And yeah, for sure. I love Dean Koontz too.
Yep. Yep.
As far as me being an encyclopedia, yeah, there's a lot of things that I know that I've experienced, and I've been on a lot of different planes of existence in a lot of different realms. I really think that just the fact that people would be willing to listen and not jump to conclusions, I think there's so many things that we can all learn from each other. We all have our own experiences. You know, it's all about what we're comfortable sharing, but I really feel that all of the dimensions and all of the realms that we have, we're all interconnected. It's all different things coming together for the purpose of our own existence in this lifetime. So where we go from there, I think, you know, we all have a conscious decision in the realities that we live in. And I really think that if you make a decision and you decide, you know, this is what I'm going to do. Like, I am going to go and I'm going to get this job. And then you create your own reality and you shift things. And I have actually seen reality shift when I decided to go back to work after not working for several years because, I had a child and I didn't want to put her in daycare. It was a day that I said, I'm going to get a job. I happened to glance over. And I see these, it's kind of like, it reminded me of when I was a teenager and I used to go into Spencer's and look at the posters and you would move a poster and it would go click, another poster, click, click, click. And things just shifted and clicked into place to where I was going on that journey now. And that reality came towards me as a gold shimmering light. And then it happened. And it's just amazing to me that we can make all of the decisions that we want to make within our own life, and we will shift our own reality to those decisions. And I think it's great, and it's amazing, and the world is a great and amazing place, and we're all here to learn and the life in this realm.
I've just got one last quick question for you there, Tammy. In my belief, everyone that I attract to me in this life has been a part of my life in a past life and will be in a future life, like whether it be friend, brother, cousin, sister, mother, grandfather, uncle, auntie, so on and so forth. But those that you attract to you in each life have been part of your life before in some form. How would you answer that?
I agree with that. I think that, my youngest daughter, I think, was actually my mother in a past life because she's so mothering
yep.
of me. I feel that a lot of the friends that I have in this life, I've had in previous lives as sisters,
mm-hmm.
as cousins, as relatives, as handmaidens, in my own case. Definitely, we choose the people that we want to connect with. In all realms
and
in every life,
yep,
we connect with them in some form or another.
Exactly. Like, we're all intertwined. We're all kindred spirits that are all part of each other's journey.
For sure. I think that we all have our missions in each life and things, lessons that we need to learn. And we choose the people that are going to be playing major roles in those parts in our lives.
Yep, most definitely.
We do. That's a good answer. I believe in that very much too, Tammy. I had a dog one time named Socks, and I looked at, and I realized that Socks was the reincarnation of my mother's Aunt Dolly. And Aunt Dolly had died, you know, many, many, many years back. And so I looked, and we were driving in a car, and I just quietly said, "Hello, Aunt Dolly." And the dog just woke straight up and jumped straight up.
Yeah.
I mean, that would never, the volume that I used would never have even awoke, would never have waked that dog up. And it was really interesting. I just saw a picture in my head that was Aunt Dolly. And she'd come back to see about me as my dog. So it was very interesting. Yeah, I think, you know, we're around the same old bunch all the time, which is hopefully it's good. It's good for me. So, yep. All right, Tammy, parting thoughts. We'll go to Tammy, then Jackson, then I'll close, and we'll be right on time with Aaron. Now, what parting shots do you have for us, Tammy?
Well, I'm really interested in the topic of portals and other realities, and I live it. I live it on many realms and many planes of existence, and for other people to be open to that is an amazing thing, and I'd love to share my experiences, and I look forward to meeting other people of like mind and at all the events that myself and the She Squatcher is going to be doing this year, and I look forward to meeting and talking with people who want to connect with me.
Well, that's great. Well, we are very fortunate that we can connect with you. You're quite a nice person. I enjoyed meeting you up at the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. We had a great time, and now we're going to Georgia this year because I think the people of Georgia would like.
That's what I hear. Do you guys have zip lining in Georgia too?
What do you think? Of course.
I know that we had so much fun ziplining last year that I totally want to do that again.
Yeah, there's a zipline in Georgia, so don't worry about that. And it's a blast. It's just going to be so much fun. And I thought, well, this will be a bigger event with a little more opportunity for you folks to meet people. It's not just a Bigfoot conference, it's a holistic conference. Or as I simple-mindedly would call it, a psychic fair. That's what it's going to be. It'll be a lot of fun. So I think, and I heard that you do some tarot reading. Is that right?
I do tarot readings, psychic readings. I can do medium. I can do whatever is called for in the moment.
Oh, I know you can.
I know that I can.
you're an expert, and I know that firsthand. I know it firsthand. Tam's an expert in all that. So,
okay.
Anyway.
That's really good. Tammy, do you do palmistry?
I have not had very much experience in that. However, I have had my palm read by a gypsy, and that was a great experience. I've never experienced that before. I'm open to learning new techniques all the time, so I would definitely be a willing student.
I'm just interested because I look at my two palms now, and I have a perfect triangle in the middle of each palm. I've always wondered what that means, but what I'm hopefully doing is I'm saving up some money soon, and I'm going to make it over there so I can catch up with you guys in for a few conferences in the near future. Hopefully, I might be able to meet up with someone that can read my palms over there, because there's not many here in Australia. But I really want
to
get over there and see you guys soon.
I would love for you to come over, but I also want to come to you so we can go scuba diving on the Great Barrier Reef together.
Barrier Reef, yep. We can do that. We can dive with the reef sharks.
I would love to do that with you. That would be so great. What an adventure.
Oh, it is a great experience. You sit on the bottom of the reef, like you just put a tank on, you just swim down about 10 feet, you sit down amongst the reef with all the starfish and all the other tropical reef fish and just look up and see 4-foot reef sharks circling above you. They're just as placid as they don't do anything to you. They just swim around and it's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Like you'd be looking at like 95-degree temperature, maybe 70, 80-degree water temperature, just lying in the reef and enjoying the fish and all the wildlife underneath the water there.
I'm there. We're going to do that.
I'll stay on the beach, okay?
No, you'll be coming too. I'm actually taking you skydiving, Dr. John. Yeah, I'm taking you skydiving.
Skydiving I'll do, but I'm just no water. No water. I just never wanted to scuba dive. But I'll skydive now.
All right, then. Skydiving and bungee jumping. We've got to take you bungee jumping.
Yeah, that sounds like fun to me. But going in the water.
It is fun.
That's just creepy because I can just see some big shark coming up and bite my head off. So I don't want that to happen. But anyway.
Oh, it's not the sharks, right, Randy, you have to worry about it. It's the crocodiles as well.
and the bunya.
Okay, Dr. John, you do the bungee jumping and I'll do the scuba diving. We'll make a go of it.
Alrighty.
You see?
No worries. We can do it all in the one spot. We can do it all in the one spot.
Really? What city?
Sounds like a plan to me.
That'd be just north of Cairns, which is in northern Queensland. You can go charter fishing. You can go scuba diving. You can go snorkeling. You can go bungee jumping. You can go skydiving. You can go hang gliding. You can go to reptile parks. You can go camping. You can basically do anything you want up there.
Yep, that sounds great. Well, now, Jack.
Sounds like a road trip to me.
Yep. Now, Jack, I've got something that I have to comment on that you said earlier. And it sounded crazy, and I thought it was funny, and I never said anything. Talking about being in northern New South Wales. And I said,
yep.
How confused are they? Just teasing. But when you said it, it came out across so naturally, and I said, oh, come on. But anyway, other than that, I want to say thank you so much, Tommy. It's been great having you on the show. We will have you back again to talk about more of these interesting paranormal topics. I will talk with you about portals sometime very soon. I'm going to I've been talking to folks that have experience with them, and I'm beginning to see more and more how they might work. I've got a conversation Monday afternoon. I've got an appointment with someone to speak with about it for the book, and Tammy, I'll just get up with you and let you know what I find out. And maybe that can help you in your research and what you do. And Jackson, it's always a pleasure. It's always a pleasure, my man, to have you. I hope you continue to do well, feel good, and stay around for a minute. Oh, there's the British lady. We're in perfect time. And if you're with us for tons and tons of paranormal down under from here on out, of course. So thank you, Jackson, Michael. Thank you, Tammy, our guest.
None of
the fabulous She Squatchers. All right, so we're gonna get out of here and go do whatever it is we did. Very much. We'll see you next week. Yes, ma'am. We will see you most likely next Friday night on Paranormal Down Under. See ya.
Thank you.
Bye.
Freddie, thank you. See you all later. Bye bye.